This is a Distraction Therapy podcast. Whatever gets you through the day.
Hello, it's Monday the 11th of January, and we're kind of in the middle of the third, or well, actually, we've not been out of lockdown here in Leicester, but this is a Distraction Therapy podcast, which I haven't done for a while. I'm Rob Watson. It's not planned, it's not thought through, but it is much appreciated that my good friend Scott Shuthinio has joined us.
Hello.
Hello.
Thought I'd leave a dramatic pause.
I know. I was waiting for your coffee slurp that you promised.
Yeah. I've nearly drank it all already.
Already? Gosh. Yeah. I just heard you making the coffee. So tell us what coffee you've just made. I mean, this is a dangerous time in the day to be making coffee in my books. I'm on herbal tea now.
It is, but I've only just started my working day. So this is my equivalent of 9 a.m. at the moment. I've got, where's it from? Square Mile, which is, I think it's owned by James Hoffman. But then I bought one of those fancy espresso machines during lockdown to sort of give myself screen breaks. So I've got a manual espresso machine and a manual grinder. So neither of them use electricity. And you have to do the whole thing yourself, which is quite fun.
And how many are you on a day?
6.
Gosh. Okay.
Maybe more. Oh, then I have a litre of coffee in the morning as well. Gosh. Just to be sure.
keeps you regular. And I think I can do... Three coffees. So you know I've got that DeLonghi machine. Well, I changed the handle and stopped using the pressurized cup, and I've got the more, I don't know what they call these things. It's like the tray or whatever it is that the coffee goes into, and then it gets pushed through by the water.
Yeah, the porter filter bit.
Yeah, and then it goes into your cup. And the one that came with it has got these two little holes, or one little hole, that it forces it through. But every now and again, it gets, probably with the lime scale or something here, it gets clogged up and I don't know how to clean it. So I bought one of the trays that I've got, but it splatters everywhere now. So like a real mess around the coffee cup as the water goes into it. But my God, is it stronger. So
yeah, I've got some cleaning chemicals actually at the studio for coffee machines. I worked out what all the coffee houses use to clean their big ones, and I ordered some of that. And it works out incredibly cheap because you have to buy it in such a large volume. But the trick is not to put it inside your kettle, because I thought, oh, I'll descale my kettle at the same time. And I boiled the kettle with it in, and there was this huge explosion of foam spouting out the top like something out of a 1990s TV show. It was bad.
Nice. And what did it taste like? It was a great way to do an instant espresso.
Yeah. But yeah, no, now the espressos are good. I think my first one every day is awful for some reason. I think it's warming up the machine, because I don't change any of the variables. And after that, it's all pretty consistent, pretty good.
So we can expect this conversation to sort of kind of speed up a little bit in about 5 minutes' time.
Yeah, that awesome, like, impending anxiety doom coming in.
Yeah. And then towards the end, it'll crash, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. So the way I kind of think about the situation, I don't know how to describe it anymore. It's like the ongoing situation that we're in is like a constant holding pattern. And I just wanted to chat and find out, you know, what you've been up to, how you've been managing it, what your coping strategy or your meltdowns have been like, and, you know, kind of how are you getting on with stuff?
Well, I must say it's been pretty uneventful for me. Life has pretty much continued as normal, apart from a lack of work, I guess, or paying work at least. But yeah, because I work by myself in my own unit, apart from for that very strict lockdown at the start, I've been coming to work by myself every day with my cat. I say by myself. Moggy's here as well. And then, yeah, homeschooling is the only real big change, which has been particularly tricky on this lockdown because we've got all three of them at home. So we've got homeschooling during the day, but they're all on these like Zoom lessons and Zoom classes and online classes. So we've got three children on three different devices in the house whilst partners trying to work on the internet at the same time, all trying to do their things, and obviously all the technical kerfuffle that goes with it. But yeah, it's not been too bad for me. I've not really, it doesn't affect my life in the way that it does for a lot of people who go into work or who enjoy going out and stuff, because I basically only work and sleep anyway. But I think the only time I had a bit of a wobble was just before this lockdown announcement, because they weren't making the announcement, but everyone knew it was going to happen. And I think the suspense of wondering whether it's going to happen or not sort of got the better of me.
And what was that? What was that feeling like? For me, it's like a kind of dislocation, because you can't plan anything. You can't sit there and go, well, yeah, I'd really like to go and do something tomorrow. From a position of relative privilege, let's put that in context. I'm not sleeping out on the street or anything. So
yeah, I think.
What did it feel like?
I think it's definitely, I suffered a lot from the feeling of not being able to plan and not being able to see what I could do in the future. And I find that very frustrating and almost quite demoralizing. I think it's probably the best description of what it feels like. It's probably just demoralizing. I had a lot of very big things almost happen in February. And it was going to be a bit of a lockdown, then a bit more of a lockdown. And then, you know, obviously now it's almost a full year of a lockdown and all those things are still on hold. And it's sort of, I think that builds up in the back of my mind, because whilst I'm dealing with my day-to-day life, I've still got all those things on the back burner, which is quite frustrating. But it could be a lot worse. I'm in a pretty fortunate position. I'd saved up in advance because I thought Brexit was going to be horrendous. And because the pandemic's hit at the same time, those savings have been dual purpose. So I've got both Brexit and pandemic savings, I guess, which is nice.
Yeah, and if you're in that fortunate position to get some support, financial support for the government, but many people are excluded and are not getting that support, that must be, you know, add extra challenges to. So what kind? I mean, the business, the work that you do, photography, nobody's walking in off the street. All of your stuff is through networking.
Yeah,
and you weren't going to, from what I remember, you weren't going to network events. You weren't doing face-to-face business, were you?
It was I never do that sort of thing. It's all very much...
So it's not that much different for you then, in a way, is it?
No, do you know what? If anything, it's slightly better, because all our shoots that we have done, we've had remote client access, which is a far more enjoyable way to shoot. It's more efficient as well, actually, because we don't show them anything until it's absolutely ready to be seen, whereas sometimes the process that we go through to get the image, it can be delayed quite a lot by people jumping in with opinions early doors, and we sort of already know where we're heading, but they need to, there's a lot of tact required, I guess. But with this here, we just tell them when we're ready to show them it, and it's a much more relaxed sort of way.
And they don't want to be hanging around on Zoom calls when they could be out walking the dog.
Exactly. Exactly. So they're sort of quite happy with that setup as well. We've had a few shoots where we have had people in when we've had to, and it's all been very COVID safe. We even had one person come in who had COVID. Obviously didn't know it at the time, but when they got home, they suddenly realised they couldn't taste anything or smell anything and went to get a test and found out they'd got COVID, but nobody else in the room caught it. So all 2 metres away, wearing gloves, anti-backing if not wearing gloves, and wearing masks for the entire shoot. So yeah, that's been pretty... It's worked quite well, really.
Yeah. So that sounds like it's been quite stable. So where's the instability come from?
Well, it's more people signing off shoots to begin with. So it's someone will say, we've got a shoot coming up in March. We've just done a shoot in March. Well, which should have been in March. We just did it in December. So everyone's like, well, we need to do it. We're going to do it soon, but we can't quite get to it yet, I guess.
And I suppose your kind of clients are used to working in business environments where there's lots of meetings and endless hours and hours of meetings to decide a campaign or a project or something, and they're denied the opportunity to do that. So you're at the end of that.
Yeah, so tail. I'm sort of like the last bit in the chain, I guess. So there'd normally be, I can't remember how much average, someone told me how much they spend on each campaign, but it's in the hundreds of thousands. So there's a lot of meetings, a lot of sign off before it gets to me. And yeah, that's just not been an efficient process for them at their end until it comes to me. And then I end up on a lot of Zoom calls as well, just sort of sat in the background listening to stuff that you sort of already know about, but you need to show willing, I guess. But yeah, that's pretty much the.
So how do you cope with that? You cope with that? I tend to put a time limit on those meetings. I was on one the other day, and somebody asked me, "Robbie, are you okay? You look really bored." I said, "It's a Zoom meeting. What do you want me to do?" You know.
Well, I have a very good trick that everyone knows that I work off my laptop in the studio as my main computer, and it's closed, so there's no webcam. So they can't see me and I mute my microphone and just sort of listen in, carry on with work. And in the meantime, if I need to chime in, then I'll chime in. But if not, then I'm very much not available. otherwise, I get invited to so many Zoom calls. I could be on them all day.
My one is when I zone out and I'm doing something else, like reading the Daily Mail or, you know, something, and all of a sudden you catch that your name's been mentioned in the conversation.
Yeah, like,
and they're asking your opinion about something, and you kind of say, "Well, of course, you know, I have to do some backpedaling quite quickly." Well, of course, as we published in that last submission that we did for the thingy, of course, it was like as long as nobody goes, "Rob, you missed it completely. I'm fine." You know,
I always find the best thing to do is if you're on the camera like that, just stand completely still, and then just go. And that's why I say, you know. And then when they go, "What was that?" I went, "Sorry, I've been talking for ages. Did I cut out?"
Screen freeze. Self-imposed screen freeze.
Take a screenshot of yourself on the camera and just change it for your profile picture at some point on the thing so you've not got it as a live camera. And just sort of walk away and then go, "Oh, it must have froze."
And this mythical cat of yours that you take into work, is that because, I mean, you just said you've got no camera. You've just removed the possibility of a cat becoming famous.
Well, she gets emails and letters sent to her now, which is weird. She had some posts last week.
Describe it.
It was like, so I've got an email account just for photographers to contact me on. And because they only find me via YouTube, they see the cat in all the videos. So she gets most emails as like, "Say hi to the cat," or they're addressed to her. And then I get random stuff sent to me, and often it's addressed to Moggy rather than me. So we got a big light sent to us recently from quite a big brand, and it said "to Moggy." And I was like, "Great."
The cat's better known than
you. Yeah.
But am I right? I haven't seen you on Instagram for ages. You used to live on Instagram, but
use the stories most days, but I've not been posting on the grid very much, mostly due to a lack of content to post on the grid. There's been we did a lot of studio renovations. And then I shot an entirely new portfolio during lockdown. And I basically deleted everything off Instagram and just left that portfolio on there until I've got time to shoot something else, I guess.
So you're not using it as a kind of, yesterday I went out for a walk. So it was pictures of upturned wheelie bins down the street, abandoned Christmas trees. You're not using it to document what's around you anymore.
No. I think going forward, it's literally just going to be work only. So I think I had a bit of a weird moment where I was looking at my stories to see how many people were looking at them. And it was like 1,500 people watching them, and I was scrolling through the list of them, and I recognised about four names. And I had a bit of a moment of going,
be the people who'd pay you for anything.
Yeah, and I was just, I don't know who any of these people are here, so I'm probably not going to share my personal life on social media to stick to.
Well, I'm really popular with Russian porn stars and Californian self-help organisations.
That's a good way to go. There's money in that. Well,
not for me, you know.
Right. I don't know. You could do some collaboration.
But they're all bots. That's the problem.
Yeah, I had a problem with that for a while. I had loads and loads of fake accounts following me. And obviously it ruined your engagement because real people aren't seeing your stuff. It's just being seen by automated computers, isn't it? So
I suppose my attitude towards Instagram these days, certainly, I separate out, if you like, a work one and a personal one, is really I'm daring people to block me or unfollow me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, honestly, living around the west end of Leicester and just photographing, you know, overflowing dustbins in the street is not everybody's idea of being an Instagram influencer.
No, but I think that whole world is dead anyway, the influencer sort of thing. It's, I don't follow anyone who would say they're an influencer of any kind. I don't think anyone takes it seriously or in a genuine way anymore. I think it's much more of it was a flash in the pan, and now those people sort of seem a bit like they don't actually have any substance.
Because I was now going to spend the next half an hour plugging you for advice about how to be an Instagram influencer, and now you're telling me that it's over.
I haven't got a clue. It's done. I'm useless at Instagram.
I don't know. You used to be. Used to be on it all the time.
I'm still on it all the time. I consume a lot.
Right.
My consumption of social media during lockdown has gone through. I've had to put a limit on my phone to 1 hour a day.
Gosh.
Because I got one of those weekly reports from Apple, and it was like you spent 4 hours one day on Instagram. I was like, that's not conducive.
But there's kind of the time that you would go and waste walking around the shops, or you know, meeting up with friends and having a coffee or a beer. You're kind of sitting on the sofa scrolling through Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah, and I think that's the routine we've got ourselves into, because so if we get up at 7, start homeschooling, finish homeschooling at 2:45. Then I come to the studio for 3 most days, apart from today, which went a bit wrong. And then from 3 till 10:30, I work at the studio. Then I get home, and we normally watch something like Dexter or some sort of serial killer TV show just on in the background, where it's really basic. You can just follow it whether you're paying attention or not. And then we just with phones mindlessly until we fall asleep. It's pretty intense with 3 kids.
Yeah. And how are they coping through the lockdown? Are they
they're okay. They're not enjoying it so much now that it's all gone to online learning. When they're doing it by themselves, they're fine. Max had finished his entire school day by 9 a.m. at the latest most days.
So the online learning's actually slowing them down.
Yeah, they're just like, this is horrific. It takes people an hour to do 5 minutes work, and we're just having to sit there and wait for everybody, and it's, you know, we don't get the next bit of work until it's time, and it's just, they're very frustrated.
Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah, so they've got to work at
the... A friend told me in their first, their grandson was, during the first lockdown, a bit of a hyperactive kind of kid, smart, but not very good at focusing, you know, kind of typical boy, I suppose.
Yeah.
And they were really worried because the homeschooling consisted of literally they could get him to sit down for an hour and the rest of the time he wanted to go out and play football in the garden. It was when the weather was okay. And they were really worried, and the first school report that they got back was that, oh, no, he's really improved. he's shot up, his reading age has improved, yeah, you know.
Well, this is it. I mean, like, our youngest has really improved as well. And his reading's improved, his writing's improved, his mathematics has improved, like, massively. When you look at how much work they actually do in a day, compared to how many hours of at school.
Given that, would you consider doing homeschooling?
I'd consider it from a purely academical and efficiency point of view, but from a social point of view, no, because I've definitely noticed they all suffer from not seeing their friends. And they're quite lucky that they have things like they play on Fortnite, the older 2D, and it's like a big social thing, like the entire class is on that computer game. They've all got the headsets on chatting to each other. So as much as they're playing the game, they're sort of socialising more than anything.
You see, I mean, am I wrong? God, I can't believe this is going to come out of my mouth. In not feeling sorry for them. Because if we'd have been in a lockdown in the 70s, 80s or 90s,
God,
we'd had none of that. What would we have done? You know, we couldn't have connected with anybody. You weren't allowed to use the phone. You'd have had to open the bedroom window and shout out.
I think there'd be a lot more serial killers around if it happened to us.
Yeah.
It's very... Holly and I have talked about this quite a lot. Like, what on earth would we have done? I mean, I've always been quite insular anyway. So I did swimming by myself before school and after school, cycling by myself for 4 hours a day. Play the violin by myself. Like, everything I do is always by myself. So I don't think it really would have changed my life that much. I'm quite happy just listening to music by myself all day. But yeah, more sociable people would have had an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, the extroverts. Is Holly extrovert or introvert?
Introvert.
All right, okay, so two peas at the same pod, so you can't...
Yeah, we, to be honest, it's quite good for us. We don't have to make up excuses to not go out. It's
The lockdown. I mean, my other half Tor is he's quite happy sitting at home all day and not putting me under any pressure to pay any attention. And it's like, hang on a minute, how did that happen? You know,
yeah.
There's no discussion of feelings or emotions or how you're feeling. It's like, kind of, oh, I'm just a little bit pissed off today, and not much else. And I'm like, kind of, have you eaten your dinner? Is about the most emotional response I get at the moment. So I think, do you know, I'm really grateful for that, because I don't... If you started to ask me any questions, I'm not sure where I'd go with it.
Yeah.
You know, you'd take the lid off that one, and you'd never get his stuff back into the can.
No, it's definitely a bit of a... you need to sort of, I guess you don't normally spend this much time with anybody, so a lot of it's just going, well, do you know what, it's fine to sit in silence. It's probably actively encouraged.
Yeah, and the hardest thing has become trying to find anything to watch that looks remotely interesting on Netflix.
We've watched everything. Like, everything. And I couldn't even tell you what was good and what wasn't, because it's just one big blur. And it's just a bit...
Have you been reading, or...?
I've not, but I'm about to start reading. I've got a stack of books that hopefully I'm going to start reading. I'm currently stopping drinking at the moment, so drinking time may be replaced with eating time. So it's just because Moggy knocked her cat food bowl over. Drinking time is going to be replaced with reading time, hopefully.
So when you say drinking time, is this like going down to the local park and standing with a group of guys who've been locked out the pub, or is it
it's the morning whiskey and the, you know, on drive to work can of super, but it's just like a couple of beers in the evening, and you sort of like, once you've had two beers, you're not going to do anything. Yeah. Like, it doesn't matter what your intentions are, so I'll stop that. And yeah, the intention now is to read. I've also got some new reading glasses during lockdown, because my eyesight is just really not that good, and it's always not been good. It's not getting worse or anything. There's like a problem with my eyes, which I never knew about, but now I've got glasses, it's so much easier to read.
Yeah, because you can actually focus on the letters that are in front of
you. Yeah, like, I was also like, well, I can see the words. It's just, you know, it's really hard reading. And I've got his glasses on. I was like, oh my word, why didn't I get my eyes tested before?
Says the professional photographer.
Yeah, no, but it's always just been like, that's just what I thought everyone saw everything like. I thought it was just the way people saw the world. And it turns out it's not. It's a
defect. So this kind of journey of plodding through TV stuff, movies, online stuff, and reading tentative, because everybody's claiming. I mean, I must admit, I've done a lot of reading. And I got back in the first lockdown, I couldn't listen to any music. And then gradually, about 3 months later, I started being able to listen to music again. And it's quite nice because he could watch whatever he wanted to watch on the TV. And I could sit and put my headphones in and listen to music and read.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the nicest things about it. It's like, oh, no, nobody saying you're not paying me any attention has been great.
Yeah, no, it's definitely... you don't need that in this sort of situation, I guess. Yeah. It's not the ideal time for that sort of...
attention. Well, we all have our needs for attention, but it's when it turns into neediness, isn't it? So what are the things do? Do you play board games? Have you got into DIY? Have you cleaned out all the cupboards and organised them?
Yeah, we've done a lot of DIY in the house. Basically just in the entire house, top to bottom. And I've also we're just finishing now, we're doing the snagging around the studio, haven't completely rebuilt it, which has been a long time coming. So hopefully tomorrow I'll be filming my studio tour video, which will be good, and then getting that onto the YouTube channel.
And what's the theme of the decor of the studio?
So I have painted the office a sort of dark matte grey, and then we've sort of like varnished some wood like a dark sort of colour. And then we've put fake foliage over the walls, like literally covering it almost like AstroTurf, and then just plants everywhere. And then we've painted the floor in the studio and the office and put rugs down and all that sort of thing, just made it a little bit more homely.
You want it almost as if to say to people, don't dare come here, this is my private space.
Pretty much. It's. Obviously at the start of lockdown, I had tenants in here. But that's no longer the case because they all sort of fell with the whole, I don't know, finance side of things, I guess. So yeah, it's just me in here now, which is quite nice. It's my little space. Well, mine and Moggy's.
And does the cat stay there, or does the cat go back home with you?
No, she comes home with me every night.
Right. I don't understand this. I don't know anybody who takes their cat to work.
No, I don't either. It started because we had some builders in the house and she can't go outside because she's a rag doll, so she has to stay indoors. So I had to take her to the studio with me because the builders were scaring her with all the noises. And now she just climbs inside her cat box every morning at about 8 a.m. So she comes with me.
So she was meant to be Lawrence's cat, but she's yours?
No. Well, she likes Lawrence a lot as well, actually. When he's there, she's always sat on him or next to him and sort of they play together. But yeah, she's pretty chilled out for a cat. She's not like any other cat I've ever seen. She likes being picked up and carried around like a baby. So, yeah.
And who does all the tidying up?
Of the cat?
Yeah.
That'd be me. I had all the. She had an accident in the studio ages ago. She accidentally ate something she shouldn't have done at home. I took her into the studio and she had a catastrophic diarrhea and she ran across the studio with it squirting out of her bottom while she was running away from it. And because she's a big, white, fluffy cat, it was all over her. So she was covered in diarrhea. The studio was covered in diarrhea. And it was just me here just going, great, this is brilliant. With her.
So, but that wasn't... I see, I'd have liked that if it was on Instagram, but...
No, sadly, I didn't capture the moment. She's got her own cat tree in here and toilet and like water fountains for her to drink out of and stuff like that.
Gosh. Do pets get bored? I mean, a lot of pets, I suppose it's a bit like, you know, humans would go out to work and leave them in all day. And I know kind of some dogs and things like that don't like that. My sister's just got another kitten. She's got a cat, Pearl, and she's just got another kitten, tiny little thing that she's called Dixie. And it's like kind of just to keep each other amused. But she's working at home, so I think they're actually there to keep her amused.
Yeah. They're definitely very sociable. Moggy doesn't like it if I leave her. If I leave the office and go to the studio, she'll follow me in there and then follow me back again. So she's got like different... When I'm shooting, she sits on the tether table. And then when I'm at the desk, she sits on the chair next to me. And now she's got her own chair, actually. So she can sit on her own chair next to me. But yeah, she just sort of like follows you around. Sort of sits with you all the time. When she gets bored, she starts batting you with a paw until you play with her. And if you don't play with her, she bites you. So yeah, it's a
so changing the subject slightly. Although the phrase diarrhea does come to mind. How have you been coping with the news and the kind of, you know, it's a bit remorseless, information overload, a bit grim.
I don't really read it, to be honest.
You've been avoiding, abstaining.
I've always abstained from the news. It's a there's nothing good on there. I've also been muting a lot of accounts on social media. Anyone who's too sort of like constantly angry political, I guess.
So that's me then?
No, yours is still on there. It's, but there's some people who like every post is just relentlessly bitter. And it's like, we all know we're in a shit situation, but I don't need to be reminded by it 500 times a day. It's not going to change it by you going, I hate the Tories. It's like, yes, they're doing a really bad job, but we all know that. We don't need to see it posted.
And constantly. To the nth degree of
everything.
I find the ones that are most difficult to deal with, if you like, are the policy wonk type people from the think tanks, because I kind of follow a lot for work.
Yeah.
And they're always really right on. Everybody who's listening to this who's ever seen any of my, you know, it's this, I'm a hypocrite. Let me get that out of the way first of all. I am a hypocrite. But it's that kind of, we've got this perfect position that everybody should follow about the economy, about social reform, about, you know, political engagement, about redeveloping the political discourse, all those kind of things. And I just lose the will to live with it because none of it feels, I don't want to use the word human, but it doesn't feel like it's human beings doing it. It's like people who are sitting in front of Twitter too much.
Yeah, it's like a mathematical model of how we should all be. And it's obviously right because we've done the research into it, so this is exactly the best option. But if you have a different opinion, don't tell us. It's very... I think there's a lot of that sort of thing at the moment as well. People are very divisive. Divisive?
Divided, I think, might be the best word.
Divided, yes.
Yeah. People are divisive, but it's because they're divided, yeah.
There's a real sort of like... It feels like everyone's getting like further and further away from one another. Like the left is going further away from the right and, you know, people are either hardcore in there. Everyone should be stuck inside their houses all the time. Don't do anything because you might die. Or to the opposite end, which is it's all fake and made up. And it's like this huge divide in like opinion and stuff. So obviously no one's ever happy with any policy that's brought out because it's impossible to please anybody because they're all so divided in what they believe in at the moment, which isn't helped by the government giving really bad press conferences.
Yeah, go to the pub, don't go to the pub.
Yeah, and it's little things like the way they report the statistics are completely useless. It's like this many people tested positive today. I was like, yeah, but how many people did you test? And what was the criteria for testing? And all these things, it's like, they'd be better if they just went, here is a constant measurement. We'll just keep reporting on this one constant, which is how many people die, because that's the only constant we can have. And whether the method for recording it is what you agree with or not, at least it's a constant measurement. And we can always go, well, it's going up or down. Whether you agree with the 28 days after having COVID, is it counting as a death cause or not? It doesn't really matter that much, as long as they keep recording it in the same way, rather than these, like, we put out 100 tests today and 100 people tested positive, we put out 20,000 tests the next day and 200 people tested positive. It doesn't really give a good...
I think you're misunderstanding the constant metric that they've been using. It's the cover your arse metric.
Yeah, yeah. That, and see what Scotland says and then copy it a day later.
Yeah. I mean, my phrase at the moment now, I went out for a walk yesterday. I did a sound walk, which I've posted up as a podcast. And I went out for a walk along the River Soar from Bede Park up to Aylston Meadows. It was lovely. January, bare trees, icy underfoot, that kind of thing. So it was really nice. But there were, as kind of I was out a little bit later, so I went out about 9:30 and kind of about 10:30, there were lots of people out around the park. And I was the only person wearing a mask. And I get in those situations and I think that there's a deficit of connection here with the issues. Now you've got a background in sports science about instructing people how to move from, literally almost move from A to B, to move from one state to another state. Why is it so blooming difficult in this country to convince people that it's sensible to wash your hands and wear a mask?
I find it really... So my friend has just moved to Australia to work on some sort of COVID vaccine or treatment. I can't remember which one it is. And over there, nobody goes outside without a mask on at all. And their entire number of deaths since the start of it is less than one day's worth of deaths in the UK. But British people just won't be told what to do. And it's a real, like, we will not be told to do that. It's against my rights. And I think at a certain point, your level of intelligence and knowledge in a subject should perhaps negate those rights. And you should just bow down to someone with a greater knowledge and go, well, you're a scientist, I am not. I will accept what you're saying is probably the best, you know, best plan. I've unfollowed a lot of people at the start of lockdown who are, like, anti-maskers, fake COVID, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it was like, someone was like, oh, there's been no real research in masks since 1962. I was thinking, well, yeah, there's been no real research in gravity since Newton. It doesn't mean it's not here.
Einstein, like, maybe.
Yeah. But it's just like, there's a real concern that people with non-scientific backgrounds who don't understand how to read a peer-reviewed journal are starting to read articles or opinions on various websites and treating them as fact.
But part of that is due to we don't have a popular media that explores how knowledge is produced. What we have is a media that balances competing opinions. So, for example, the BBC with climate change for years invited climate deniers to sit with people who... were warning about climate change as if they were equals and not testing the objectivity of the process.
Yeah.
It's like kind of comparing, you know, cats and dogs trying to have a conversation. They're both two completely different kinds of animals. So,
I mean, for work with us, we've just literally done everything by the letter. Like, socially distancing, no one in here who doesn't have to be here, everyone wearing a mask all the time. Like, we've been wearing masks like 12 hours a day for some shoots, and like your ears bleed at the end of it, but it's better than having COVID. So
yeah, and there's people working in A&E wards who couldn't get hold of them at the start.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's my mum makes them, so what a good supply of masks. But yeah, I think just it's frustrating when people don't do these things, because then it obviously elongates the process of being in lockdown. But
well, I've started kind of using the phrase was kind of aligned with Brexit now, which is, well, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Seems to be the phrase. It's, and it kind of implies that I've I've lost the will to try and convince anybody else now. And I'm just standing back and watching things fall apart or the numbers head in the wrong direction because, you know, you can't change this just by wishing it that people would comply in an intelligent way or understand in an, you know, comprehend what is they're supposed to be doing. So when things go wrong and they're stood at the side of the road going, my car broke down, did you fill it up with petrol? Oh, no, I didn't think I needed to do that. And the only answer I could say is, well, what did you expect? And that seems to be like the default position I'm in at the moment. It's the least controversial and least confrontational. Maybe that's all I'll say on Twitter and Instagram now is that's it.
Yeah. What you expect is going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a... Oh, sorry. It's a noise on my computer. I don't know if you heard that or not.
No, didn't hear anything.
Yeah, it's just my headphones then. Or in my head.
Yeah, it's... that's the next thing. So, so this kind of... So peace and all of this. I mean, it's good to get this off your show, off your chest and kind of, you know, speak to like-minded people about, you know.
It's, yeah.
and I've kind of also resolved to... I mean, this doesn't win me over any friends, which why these podcasts have probably been so infrequent. but the sense of, you know, I come from Liverpool. I grew up in Liverpool in the 70s and 80s. I know that it can get worse. And I kind of all this fake boosterism and we've just got to believe and all pull together and there's going to be, you know, it'll be better tomorrow. And I'm sitting there kind of going, yeah, you know what? It's not going to be, you know, there's going to be more things closed down and more people out of work. We're at the start of this process yet. It's like, should, you know, is that legitimate to be that fatalistic or will I be, you know, lynched at some point for being a miserable
worst case scenario is that you get proved wrong. It's like, I'd be happy to be proved wrong and everything to be fine at the end of it. But yeah, I think there's going to be quite the economic backlash from all of this.
So in positive terms, what do you think is the way that you're going to, you know, because you're in a creative industry, it's not quite so easy for you to nip across the channel to pick up any jobs anymore. What you anticipate, or is it literally just saying I get up each day and just take it one day at a time and have no plan?
Yeah, I just turn up, create what I do, put it out there, and then hopefully people buy it or book me.
Yeah,
is my plan. There's not really much more I can do than that. Apart from spend as little as possible, which hasn't been going well. It's been quite an expensive and spendy month.
What is that, Amazon?
Just so, yeah,
they're kind of buying stuff off eBay.
Kitting out the studio and
yeah,
new microphone, new headphones. Bits like that and sort of, you know, all the wood and timber we needed and labour time and things like that. So spendy month, but hopefully that'll be it for the year in terms of big expenditures, bar my tax bill.
But that's investment.
Yeah, absolutely. So hopefully that will also last a long time as well. Hopefully.
Yeah. I mean, that's the point, isn't it? I mean, it, literally what and how you've just said that is that kind of, yeah, we've done all of these things and then there's a gap. And that's where your head kind of swims a little bit and you kind of go, you know, you become a bit, you know, do you know, I've done this, but it feels like I'm just going this through the routine of doing this because there's no guarantee that, you know, in 3 weeks, in 3 months' time, we might be packing all of this away.
No, absolutely. I mean, it was, what, the 11th of January. No one's phoned me for a job yet. But then, you know, no one's in their offices. It's a strange, I don't think I'll get any work in January.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be February at the earliest I shoot, and then it'll be March at the very earliest I get paid for the first time this year. If at all, you know, so we'll see how it goes.
So what's with your photography, your creative attitude? As I say, one of the things I've started to do, and we'll have to do this at some point when we're up and running with social distancing in the right possibilities as the lockdown eases, but doing sound walks just to get out the house and have something to do where I'm not, I like to go and sit in coffee shops. I just haven't been able to do that for the last 6 months or wherever properly. For a short period, we could. And just having conversations with people is suddenly, it's just dried up because everything's about, you go onto Zoom for meetings but you don't, you're not really, I'm not having Prosecco parties with gale friends.
No, yeah, I mean, me and my best mate had like a couple of beers on a call once, but it wasn't for me. I find it really hard to engage with a screen. It's actually better. I've got headphones on now, which I wouldn't normally have. It's much better with headphones on to stay sort of like engaged in the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I find like talking to a computer screen really hard to like focus on after like 10 minutes.
I've sat through so many Zoom calls where somebody's just using their tablet or laptop propped up. There's a podcast to listen to by a national lobbying organisation, and they will rename nameless, Compass, where the guy who runs it, Neil, doesn't use headphones and doesn't use a microphone. And it sounds like he's in a bathroom or a bin or something.
God.
And it's like, you know, just please, you know, just follow some basic advice. Put a pair of headphones on. It'll sound a lot better. But, you know, that's me getting kind of hyper picky about things.
Yeah. How does my sound now that it's all on?
Great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you're sounding mellifluous. Is, well, not quite, but, you know, you don't sound too bad. It sounds good. There's no interference, or I'm not picking up any noise in the background or anything. So
that's good. There's a lot of hum in the room.
Yeah.
But then I've got like these huge 14 terabyte hard drives spinning on the desk.
And now that you've got your microphone facing the right way.
Well, it definitely helps, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Who'd have thought?
A couple of times. So
it's my first time using it.
What, properly?
Yeah, yeah, I've not used it before. Oh, I only unpackaged it a couple of days ago.
Right.
Yeah, I've got it set up on the desk now with all my cables everywhere. I think I could do it with a shorter XLR cable. I think this one's about 3 meters long. And it's
take a selfie and send it over to us so we can use it to go out with a podcast. That'll be...
I'm not very good at selfies, but yeah, I'll have a go.
You're not good at selfies. Gosh. You that's like a red rag to a bull to you. You'll be there setting it up for an hour, making yourself look good with a fancy... a tinge lit background and all sorts of things placed out of focus in the right kind of way. So what kind of creative approach do you think will be different this year for you than maybe you've done in previous years? Are you going to be further afield, more risky or what?
Probably less. Yeah, I think just sticking to the particular style I'm working in at the moment is very graphic, very like texture related food, I think. It's all very pop art like, and you know, I've just deleted all the portraits off my website, and then my front page of my website now is just much more graphic and almost pop art like in its styling.
How did that feel, take it all, because that was you know, that's when we first met.
Yeah, that was a good 10 years of
portrait photographer of some renowned Leicester.
Yeah. 10 years of portraits, and I just deleted it. It was quite a big deal, actually.
You've archived them, I suppose.
Oh, I've still got all the... Yeah, I've got every photograph I've ever taken. It's a nightmare. But even, like, I've got this second food one on my website now. It's food one and food two on the main page. And food two, that's going to be getting the axe eventually, because that's not really... It's diluting the message a bit.
What's the trend? I mean, obviously, if you no trade secrets here to spill into your competitors, but what's the trend post lockdown? You know, is it latrines and you know, billy cans of baked beans, or is it high end fantasy kind of Instagram type food culture porn?
The food industry is on the cusp of changing massively in terms of the stylization of photos. We've had the sort of like food porn, dreamy, you know, rustic photos for a long time now. And I think we're just about to go past the tipping point of that and head somewhere else. So hopefully I've put my eggs in the right basket. otherwise I'm going to be losing a lot of work. But yeah, I like the work I'm doing at the moment. I like the style. I like doing it. And I like thinking up the ideas. So yeah, hopefully it stays with that. It also got me signed to a new agent as well, which is always good.
What was the impact of that?
Well, we've only just really gone through the process, so we signed in December. But it's just going to open up a lot more doors. It's going to help me
they have like a producer in house and things like that, so the shoots will be far better organized and I'll have to do far less of that sort of thing. They've got a really good marketing strategy as well, so hopefully it makes a reasonable difference.
And the pivot that you made to kind of keep going and keep cash coming into the business early on in the lockdown, have you sustained that, or is that something that you've kind of dropped off from now?
I've dropped off a little bit now. Initially, I did a lot of portfolio reviews and things like that and one-to-one mentorship, but I've had to sort of ease back on that, so I've got more shooting time again, because it's quite time-consuming doing the shots that I do. They look quite simple and basic, but it takes a lot of time to get them to look that simple and basic. There's a lot of a lot of precision involved.
And have you changed your kit?
Much? No, I mean, I bought this really fancy Coles Ice lens, which is what I use for pretty much every shot. And then I've got like a 50 megapixel camera on the back of it. And then I bought a Broncolor hazy light, which is like a £10,000 studio light, with perfectly homogeneous light. And it's like the best softbox you could possibly find. And I got it from a studio that went bankrupt in the first lockdown for a very, very reasonable price.
And you still geek out on kit?
No, to be honest, I have my camera and lens attached to the tripod and it's not come off there last year at all. It just sits there. I use the same light for every single image. So he's one lens, one camera and one light, and that's it.
One shot, Scott.
Yeah, is there?
and what's the kind of feedback you've had? What's the kind of stories that are coming out of the Leicester photographic creative community during the lockdown?
There's been a lot of panic. Initially, there was a lot of stuff being put up for sale. The wedding industry is like taking a huge hit. And a lot of people from that have had to go and get jobs.
Yeah.
Or just, you know, they've just completely lost their business. So, yeah, it's not been ideal. It's a tough time. I mean, there's not really anyone else who does the sort of work I do in Leicester. And I think my type is less affected than the majority of photographers in Leicester as well. I think a lot of them, you know, who do all the events and that sort of thing, that's just gone. You know, portrait work as well, it's not gone, but it's pretty much gone for that sort of thing, whereas if they were in advertising, there's still quite a bit going on, at a far lesser extent, but they wouldn't have taken the hit that they had have taken, I guess.
And advertising in a recession is, I don't know, is it recession proof, because you need to get out of, you know, you
it
need to increase your sales.
So, yeah. I think we'll be doing more shoots but at a lower value, so obviously the day rate stays the same, but like the usage, it'll be more below the line usage rather than above the line, so slightly less on the usage, or I say slightly less, a lot less on the usage fees.
And you're not going to be flown off to Paris or the Bahamas to do a shoot?
Sadly not, but luckily I managed to get in. I think it was like 5 countries in the first 2 months of the year, so it was I got my travel fixed done then for shooting.
That was last year?
Yes. Oh, yeah, so of course it was last year.
Yeah.
Just before COVID, which is, I think, when I caught COVID doing that travelling.
Caught and spread.
Yes, I was probably the patient zero. But we had no idea at the time. Like, we knew about this virus, but I went to basically every bad place and was leaving there just as they were going, this is bad. And came back and I was horrifically ill.
Yeah, I think suffered from it in March, yeah. April. And I think I had 2 bouts of it, which wasn't great. So it's kind of flashed back a few weeks later, so... I've no idea whether I'm immune or not, because I don't know if you can get the antibody tests.
Well, Holly's had the antibody test, but she doesn't have any antibodies.
So she's not had it? Or she might have had it, but she's not got antibodies.
Because we thought we had it in February, but the antibody test wouldn't have shown up anyway. But I think they did it for data collection, more than like seeing if she had them, I guess.
Yeah. So... So what are you doing for the rest of the week? Let's just say that. I was going to say, how's your plans looking for the rest of the year? But I think I'll, you know.
I don't plan any further forward than a day at the moment.
Yeah, what's your next coffee going to be?
Probably going to go for a double espresso after this. I think.
A double espresso at 6 p.m. in the evening?
Yeah,
that's quite brave.
It doesn't seem to affect me. I sleep like a baby every night. I just fall asleep straight away.
Yeah, but for how many hours and for...
I get a good 7 hours of ice, I think.
Gosh, that's not too bad then.
Yeah, it's all right.
No, I find if I have caffeine after about midday, then that's it. My sleep's ruined for the night. But it would be nice. I kind of do sit here thinking, you know, kind of craving to just go and sit in a coffee shop. Not that I like, there's not many coffee shops I like, which is the worst thing, yes. I'm quite fussy about my coffee shops, but, you know, just the prospect of not sitting here.
I'm really lucky that I've got my own workplace. It saved a lot of sanity being able to go to the studio.
Yeah.
And sort of have my own space by myself, or at least with Moggy at least. But yeah, so that's quite a nice little addition.
Yeah.
So. But then I'm also enjoying doing the homeschooling in the day, so...
Have you picked anything up from the homeschooling that you can say that you didn't know or weren't confident about before?
Anything to do with phonics. They learn English in the most bizarre way. They learn to read words that aren't real words, so that they can theoretically read any word.
Right.
So they'll just throw letters on a page and get people to read it.
Well, that's kind of how... I'm not entirely... up to speed on the phonics debate. I kind of pushed, it's one of those things that you push out your mind. When I stopped being a school governor, it was just at that point where they were changing the whole system from synthetic phonics to phonics. I can't remember what it was.
All I know is that the elder two know more about the English language than I'll ever know.
Yeah.
There's like when they deconstruct a sentence, they have a term for every single word in the sentence. And I'd sit there going, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, the grammatical stuff, past participles and conjunctives. And
yeah. I was like, you can't put that there. It's this. I was like, I don't know. It's going there, though. Here we go.
Have they got anything interesting to say, though? Do they have anything creative to talk about?
Yeah, they have really good ideas. It's very interesting. They have a lot of thoughts on the world and possibility, like their understanding of, we watched some what we'd like to do when we grow up videos today, and I remember watching them at school. You could be a doctor, a bin man, an astronaut, a fireman, a policeman, or a teacher. They were like the main jobs. And we're watching one with Lawrence, and it was like, oh, you could be a YouTuber, you could be a 3D printer, you could be all these like bizarre jobs. And I was like, that's really good. I was like, what do you want to do? What do you want to do when you grow up? And he was like, I want to test games that other people have made to help them spot the problems in them before they get released into the App Store. And I was like, yeah, that's definitely a job. There's definitely a career in testing games before they get launched, so you can spot any bugs before they happen. Because like, it's really frustrating when you download a game and it's got a bug in it and they haven't spotted it already. And I was like, yeah. So
you do know he's telling you that he wants to be, he'll be a 35-year-old man still living at home, sitting in his bedroom. Morbidly obese. That's what he's telling you.
That's the dream. That's what we all want.
Yeah.
That's what we all want.
And you're his role model.
Yeah. Although he was brutal to me a few weeks ago. He was like, yeah, go, what do you need for work? So I went, I'm an artist. And he just laughed at me and went, no, you're not got. Photography's not art.
Oh.
And I went, well, what is it? Went, well, it's not real art, is it? It's not like painting or drawing or sculpture, you know, the real ones. It's just a bit creative. I was like, oh, great.
Yeah, so he's already got his condescension built in.
Yeah, he's on to me. He knows I'm a fraud.
So it's been lovely chatting.
Love chatting to you too again.
Yes. If you fancy another chat at some point in the future, give me a shout.
Will do.
If anybody wants to come on this podcast, if you know anybody, if you want to recommend anybody as well who think that they might just have an hour or so to kind of waste some time, that's I'm always up for a bit of a chat. And it is weird doing it with just the audio, isn't it? In fact, I prefer it. The Zoomification of everything, or
yeah,
whatever it's called, gets on my nerves. So if you look Oh, where do people get in touch with me? Rob W Media on Twitter and Instagram. And the podcast is up on iTunes. Just look for Distraction Therapy. There's a couple of others up there. And I'm sure I'll keep adding a few more as the weeks go by. The weeks and months drag on.
Oh, years, yeah.
and the endless lockdown never seems to end. No, I think in a few months' time we might be feeling, you know, the weather will change. It's always difficult this time of year with the weather.
Yeah, it's brutally cold at the moment. Yeah, my car door had frozen shut a couple of nights ago and I left it. I couldn't get into the car. It was like,
and at least and you're driving now rather than cycling to the studio.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Driving everywhere now.
You used to think nothing of driving in 6 foot of snow. Cycling, sorry, in six foot of snow.
It's much safer driving than cycling.
Yeah,
I think my life expectancy has gone up a lot.
And other people's has gone down.
Drastically down, yeah. it's very interesting driving. It's a good observation of the world and the people within it.
Yeah, you're in this bubble. What do you have on the radio?
We currently listen to classic 90s hip-hop. I tried Kings of Leon recently, but Moggy sits in the front. She turns
the radio
off.
It's a playlist, is it? Or is it a radio?
Yeah, well, it's a really old car I drive. It was like the cheapest car I could find. Because I didn't know what I wanted, so I just thought I'd buy a really small, cheap car and then decide what I want so I don't spend loads of money on something and then go, this is the wrong car.
Well, that's not out of place with anybody in Leicester because most people drive old cars.
Yeah, well, a lot of them got fancy cars where we live. Like people opposite, they've got like Ferraris, they've got a Maserati, and there's a couple of doors down, they've got two of those electric cars, the Teslas.
You need to come back to this end of town at some point. You know, see what the real people are like.
I drove through the knob and I saw some gangster driving past in a Rolls Royce. I just looked at him and went, that is stolen.
Or leased.
Yeah, well, no, it was like a classic Rolls Royce, like a gentry sort of thing with this like proper hard looking gangster at the wheel of it blaring out some hip hop.
Gosh.
And it was, there's me and my little Kia blaring out some hip-hop because Moggy the cat won't listen to anything but classic 90s hip-hop without getting mad and either crying or turning the radio off by herself, which she's now learnt to do.
Oh, well, I've never thought of it that way, that you let the cat decide what you play on the radio in the car.
It's just easier than dealing with her tantrums.
Yeah.
She's currently sleeping behind me.
There's a radiator and there's a warm body. That's what cats want.
That's all they need, isn't it?
It is indeed. Right.
Awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is a Distraction Therapy podcast. Whatever gets you through the day.